If you have your Bibles tonight, I know not everyone came prepared for that. It's not necessarily the venue for a regular message, and it's not going to be a regular message. Those of you who come on Sunday nights know that we've been going through the New Testament book of Hebrews. But if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look at one of the verses that was quoted tonight in Romans chapter 8. And then we're going to look towards the end of the Bible in a small little book called 1 John. The subject this week, the key verse, is Romans 8, 37, which a couple of the classes quoted for you. It says in Romans 8, verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." It goes on, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to look tonight at four words in that text, in verse 39, the love of God. Going back to verse 37, "in him that loved us." 1 John chapter 3, let me read a couple of verses, and I'm going to read quite a few verses tonight. This is kind of just going to be a look at that phrase in the Bible, the love of God, and what it means to us. Let me read a couple of more verses, we'll pray and look at a couple of things. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, most of us are familiar with John 3:16, the Gospel of John, the most familiar verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16 says this, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him?" One of the things that we'll see in just a couple of minutes, and we won't spend much time on this, so I'll make comment here. One of the ways that we demonstrate God's love to others is by our love for them. Helping others that need help. Showing compassion to others. That shows that not only do we love God, but we want others to see God's love through us. And that's critically important. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we are mindful tonight of your love. We've heard about it throughout the week in VBS. We have seen it in action. And I pray tonight in just the next couple of minutes that we'll be encouraged from your word to know the love of God, to understand it just a little bit better. If there's one here that has not accepted that love in their heart, that's not put their trust in the shed blood of Christ, the payment for their sins, I pray tonight before they leave the building that they'll make sure their relationship with you is right, that they'll make sure that they've accepted that love. Guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That phrase, the love of God, is found 12 times in the Bible, all of them in the New Testament. There's four occurrences in 1 John alone. The Apostle John was the one more prone to talk about that particular topic than the other authors. There's several reasons for it, but just the amount of times it's mentioned helps us to understand that God loves us. Now, we say that often. We'll say that in passing to people. We'll remind people, God loves you. Even people that don't go to church, even people that aren't religious, still understand that phrase because they've heard it. Not as much in our time than is in the past, but still it's out there. The idea of the love of God, of God's love for us, is meant to point us to the sacrifice that God made in sending his only begotten Son to be born as a baby laid in a manger in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life, came to the end of his ministry, suffered greatly, was nailed to a cross, shed his innocent blood, paid our sin debt. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God speaks of sacrifice. I read this illustration. A psychiatrist once asked a mother of three which child she loved the most. At first, she insisted, "I love them all the same." But when she was pressed by the psychiatrist, she broke down and said, when one is sick, I love that one more. When one is hurt or struggling, I love that child more. And then she said this, when a child is bad, she didn't mean disobedient. She meant the nature of that child was bad, was naughty. She said, I love that child more. That's a picture in part of God's love for us. He loves each of us fully, but when we're hurting, when we're broken, when we're far from him, he meets us with even deeper compassion. As one writer put it a long time ago, God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. I've said this in the past, many have said it long before I appeared on the scene, that if I was the only person, if you were the only person that ever lived that would accept the payment for your sins that Christ paid on the cross, he would have still paid that price. That's the depth of the love of God. I'm going to read some verses. If you want to follow along with me, that'll be all right. But the first thing that we come to when it comes to the love of God is God saves us through his love. John 5:42 says, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Now, the absence of the love of God in the heart and life of an unbeliever, of someone that is not saved, doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. It just simply means that they haven't accepted the love of God, the payment for their sin that demonstrated the love of God, that brought salvation for them. It's not in them spiritually. So even though the Bible says, and I've quoted that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And if you were here last VBS, it was our first year here, I actually gave a devotion on that verse, John 3:16. In the greatest gift, the greatest love, the greatest of all that God is to us. So the love of God is absent from the heart and life of those that have not put their trust in him, that have rejected him to this point. But God's love saves us. Romans 5, verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is in us. Salvation occurs when God's love is, in the Bible terms, shed abroad. That word means poured out abundantly. There's no limit to the love of God. There's not a person that's on earth today. There's not a person that's ever lived since Adam and Eve were created long time ago and lived in the Garden of Eden till the last person born at the end of what we consider time. There's no depth, there's no limit to the love of God. That's what it means when it says it's shed abroad in our hearts. It's poured out. It's used for water, like water or a liquid is poured out of a bottle. God's love is abundantly poured out, shed abroad, imparted through the Holy Spirit's influence. In fact, one of the things we learned in VBS this week in one of the lessons was the still small voice of God. Elijah was in need of encouragement. And God put him in the cleft of a rock, and a strong wind passed by. Very destructive force, but the Bible says that God wasn't in that. His voice wasn't in the wind. An earthquake happened. God wasn't in the earthquake. Fire happened. God wasn't in the fire. Then it says a still small voice. And God spoke to Elijah in that still small voice. Anytime that we hear the word of God preached, the word of God read, anytime you open a Bible and read it for yourself, the Holy Spirit is there to speak to you, even if you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ yet. Even if you haven't accepted the gift of His grace, you still have that draw from the Holy Spirit. It's there. It's poured out abundantly. Salvation demonstrates God's love through Christ's sacrifice. We already read those verses in 1 John 3. If you're still in 1 John and you have your Bibles open, look at chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested," that means shown to us, "the love of God." In this, in what? In our love for others. "Was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His, and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins." There's a whole lot there. We're not going to go into it. But the love of God is manifested to us through Christ, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. The love of God saves. The sacrifice of Christ reveals the God, the love of God for us. And another aspect of the love of God for the Christian, for the one that has put their trust in Christ, for the believer, God sanctifies us by His love. The word sanctification means to be set apart. If you want to turn back to the Gospel of Luke, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go back to 1 John. So if you want to just stay there, that'll be fine. I'll read these verses to us. Luke 11, verse 42 says, "Well, woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs and Passover judgment." Not only do they pass over judgment, it says they pass over the love of God. "These," speaking of the good works that they were doing, "ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." The love of God helps to set us apart. The spiritual word we use, the religious word, the scripture word, is sanctification. But it begins with simple obedience. How do we demonstrate that we love God? How do we demonstrate the love of God to others? By obeying Him. It's one of the principles we teach children. But we as adults, be a good principle to follow as well. Another reference to the love of God is a little bit back towards the end of the Bible in what's called 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Sanctification requires God's love to direct us. The idea of living for Him, the idea of the love of God making us holy, making us pure, making us Christ-like, making us right, requires His love directing us. It's impossible to succeed in the Christian life without the love of God. We can try it on our own. We can do what we want, what we feel we should do. We can do all the good works that we want to do. But without the love of God, we're not going to be the Christian God wants us to be. God's word, His will, His holiness, as well as His love, helps us. Back to 1 John. Again, I said we'd kind of look at a few verses. We're actually looking at all 12 references to the love of God. Well, 11 of them. One of them deals with a different subject we'll not look at. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, "But whoso keepeth His word," that means obeys the Bible, obeys God's word, "in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." How? Because the love of God is perfected in us. It's making us complete in Christ. It's finishing the work he gave for us to do. Sanctification is revealed through obedience to God's word. God's word saves us. God's love saves us. God's love sanctifies us. God's love secures us. One of the most important Bible doctrines for the believer. One of the most helpful and hopeful things that we have in life as a Christian is to know that our eternal destiny is forever settled. When I've talked to people in the past and you start conversations with people about the Lord, there's varied ways to do that. Depends on how well you know the person, if you don't know them at all. And it's kind of what's called a cold call, so to speak. One of the most important questions we can put to anyone is do you know where you're going to go when this life is over? Some people say, I don't believe in anything after death. Death is it. It's no more. There isn't anything else. We know better. There's one of two places, either heaven or hell. That's the choice. The love of God secures us once we've put our faith in Him. It's forever. Now, I didn't ask the young people this week in class at all. I don't remember that I asked them last week, but I'm sure at some point the question has been put to the children to get us to think, how long is eternity? I can remember as a kid being asked that question. I'd go around the room tonight, we could ask all of us, how long is an eternity? The older we are, the more we understand it to some extent, but even I can't, and honestly, it's doubtful anybody in here can wrap our mind around the idea of forever. But it is forever. God's love in sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross secures our eternal destiny, our eternal hope. The next to the last book in the Bible, and let me read a couple more verses. Well, the one we've already read in Romans 8, there's nothing. I'm persuaded, neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The next to last book, which is just a single or two pages in some Bible, single page in others, the book of Jude. It's a single chapter, verse 21, says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are secure. And we're not perfect. We're not going to be sinless. As Christians, even, we're not. We still have to deal with the world, flesh, the devil. But if you're truly born again by the Spirit of God here tonight, your eternal security is settled in His love and because of His love. We're safe in His love, both now and in death. And we'll end with this. God shares His love through us. I've already mentioned that. The love of God is shared, is shown through us. If you want others around you to know who God is, the best way to do that is show Him, show them His love. We read that verse in Jude, verse 21. The verse prior to that says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We show the love of God by sharing His love with others. As we love others, We show the reality of the gospel. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also so love one another." If God so loved us. Now, that's not a possibility clause. It's an absolute clause put in the form of a question. God so loved us. We should share that love with others. John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Even when the message is rejected, love can leave a lasting impression. I came across this illustration a long time ago. And that particular point, even when the message is rejected, the love of God can have a lasting impression. There's a Baptist church in Houston that gives this illustration. A man named Jack had been president of a large corporation. When he had got cancer, they ruthlessly dumped him. He went through his insurance, used his life savings, and had practically nothing left. The one giving this illustration from the church there in Houston said, "I visited him with one of my deacons who said, 'Jack, you speak so openly about the brief life you have left. I wonder if you've prepared for your life after death.'" Remember earlier, I said one of the most important questions you can ask somebody that you're introducing Jesus to is, "Do you know where you're going when this life is over?" That was basically the question that this pastor asked. Jack stood up, livid with rage. He cursed. He said, "You Christians, all you ever think about is what's going to happen to me after I die." He said, "If your God is so great, why doesn't he do something about the real problems of life?" He went on to tell us, the pastor said he went on to tell us he was leaving his wife penniless and his daughter without money for college. Then he ordered them out. Later, he said, my deacon insisted we go back. So they did. He said, "Jack, I know I offended you." He said, "I humbly apologize, but I want you to know I've been working since then. Your first problem is where your family will live after you die." He said, "A realtor in our church has agreed to sell your house and give your wife his commission. I guarantee you that if you'll permit us, some other men and I will make the house payments until it's sold." He said, "Then I've contacted the owner of an apartment house down the street. He's offered your wife a 3-bedroom apartment plus free utilities." And now this was quite some time ago, and an $850 a month salary in return for her collecting rent, supervising plumbing and electrical repairs. "The income from your house should pay for your daughter's college." He said, "I just wanted you to know your family will be cared for." He said, Jack cried like a baby. But here's the sad part. He died shortly thereafter, so wrapped in pain, he never accepted Christ. But he experienced God's love even while rejecting him, and his widow, touched by the caring Christians, did respond to the gospel message, gave her life to Christ, and lived a testimony for him and brought others to Christ. We all think we have plenty of time. Now, the older I get, the more I'm under the realization that I don't have as much time left as I used to. But the kids here in VBS and the young people, we were all like that when we were young. We had plenty of time. We don't know. It matters right now what you do with Jesus. What does the love of God mean to you? If you're lost, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it means he loved you enough to die for you. If you're saved, if you are born again, it means he loves you enough to keep you and to use us. But it doesn't stop there. Because he loves us, we're called to love others, even when they don't love us back. That's what makes God's love visible to the world, through us. The love of God saves, it sanctifies, it secures, and it needs to be shared. That's our job as Christians. If you're here without Christ, you've never accepted Him as your Savior, don't leave the building tonight without making sure. There's people here that love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home when this life is over. It's the most important question we can ask. What does the love of God mean to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. We're mindful of the love of God tonight. Now, Father, if there is anyone here that's not sure that heaven's their home, I pray that the Holy Spirit will have that openness with them, that they'll recognize their need for grace and accept the gift that you have given for them in sending your Son to die on a cross, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and to rise again from the dead 3 days later. Paid their sin debt, paid my sin debt. Help them to know that message tonight. For those of us that are saved, as the songwriter said, we need to be reminded of that old, old story to get a little better motivated to tell others of who Jesus is. Speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.